I tell you what, you show up late for choir one time, and suddenly you're up here doing the music. Y'all not going to say anything to that? No. I figured they'd say something about that. I always say you can set your calendar by me. I told Brother Joel this morning, I said, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel this morning. He says, no, Tim. He says, we're under the barrel at this point. So you got to suffer with me today. Ken is vacating. Is that? No. Vacationing. Yeah, vacating would be a whole different thing. But he'll be back next week. So I'm not much, but we serve a holy God. And we're going to open up with a song, Holy, Holy, Holy. Thank you, Amy. Amy noticed that we were missing something this morning.
Ken would be proud of the fact that Amy came bailed you out.
Yes.
Ken would be tickled to death that somebody saved Tim. All right. Welcome. Glad you're here. All of you that are our guests, we're glad you're here, part of our time of worship. Take a few minutes. Stand up. Welcome your friends. Glad you're with us. Thank you.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to spy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to
great hymns to sing today. And our next hymn is, if you like, got your hymn book, it's number page 684, but it is Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Lead me on, let me stay in. I am tired.
And the next one we got is when we all get to heaven. What a day that will be. And if you page 772.
Father, we come to you this morning in your presence, Lord, with joy in our hearts, because, Lord, you have already won the victory, Lord, and we just claim that free gift of salvation that you offer to us, Lord, to everyone that will accept it. So, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we have a God that loves us and cares for us and provides for us, and, Lord, we just praise your holy name, because you and you alone are worthy. This morning, Lord, we just pray that as you look down upon us, Lord, that you are pleased with the service, and our hearts just cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Lord, and help us to love you more and more each day. Lord, as we take up an offering this morning, we just pray that, Lord, you bless it and multiply it for the furtherance of your kingdom. And we pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
You know, most of the hymns that we sing are statements of faith. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, period. Look at the songs, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, period. Precious Lord, take my hand, period. You know, when we all get to heaven, what a day, you know, what a glorious day that'll be. But the point I'm trying to make here is I picked out a song this morning that's all questions. Every line is a question. And so the choir's going to help me do this song. You may not have heard it in a long time. But these are questions that we all may need to ask ourselves. And it's called, How Long Has It Been? How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that he'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt that the day's worth the living? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared?
Thank you so much, Tim, for filling in today, and Amy for helping Tim, and Karen for helping Amy and Tim, and choir for all that you do to help us and lead in worship. And so, Ken, like Tim said, Ken and Tammy are gone on spring break, but choir, Ken, whatever the music minister's name is, he will be back Wednesday for practice because he said, well, I can't miss practice Wednesday night because somebody has put pressure on me about Easter Sunday and having the combined worship services. And so he'll be back for Wednesday night. So thankful for Tim filling in today, and thankful for last week. Last week, Micah preached in the early worship for me while I was gone. And then Paul preached in this worship service while we were gone. So last weekend we went to the Grand in Fairhope. Janice and Richard were there and other members of First Baptist. So we celebrated with Hunter Lane and did her wedding last weekend. And so thankful for everybody that filled in while I was gone. All right, so today we're going to finish up our, we're actually not going to finish it up till next week, but you'll see where we're going. We started at the beginning of this month with a one-month series on good works. How do we combine salvation and good works? We know that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We also know that all throughout the Old and New Testament, God calls us to good works, bearing fruit, as we hear in the New Testament, bearing fruit for the kingdom. So how do these two things combine? And where do we draw the line when it comes to grace and good works? So we've spent the month leading up to Easter talking about good works. Well, next Sunday, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And I loved that when I started really praying about and thinking about, all right, this month, thinking about just talking about those issues of good works, grace, and I thought, perfect. That absolutely works out perfect, because next Sunday, even though I'll preach for a few moments, we're going to visually be able to witness and to see the greatest good work of all time. And that is what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus. So we'll really finish it up next Sunday. But today, we're really going to try to bring it to a close. And we're going to do that with Titus. The little letter that Paul wrote to Titus, another one of his sons in the faith. And so in Titus chapter 3, we'll only look at verses 1, 8, and 14. And we're just going to talk about good works. So, doing good works in this life is rooted and founded, and this is the point of this series. It is rooted and it is founded in the idea of God's grace. But not only God's grace. We talked about that a little bit this morning. Yes, it is God's grace. And doing good works is rooted in God's grace. But it's also, you can't miss this part either. Doing good works is also rooted in God's blessing. So I don't know that the body of Christ, or a lot of people that know Christ as Savior and Lord, really understand that. They really understand what a blessing it really is to do the good works that God has called us to do. So it's rooted in the idea of His grace, yes, God reaching out His hand to His enemy. God giving us salvation. Yes, it's rooted in that, but it's also rooted in His incredible blessings. And it is not by any means a stretch or of earning salvation. So good works, as we've said, is simply the fruit, the evidence. It is what flows out of grace, and that is true faith. So as believers, when you have a healthy relationship with Jesus as Savior and Lord, then the New Testament teaches us, then because we have this healthy relationship with Jesus as Savior and Lord, we then are devoted to doing good works. So Paul writes this little short letter to Titus. Titus, we don't have time to go into all of the details of this letter. Titus is a son, spiritual son of Paul, like Timothy. And so Titus is talking, writing this letter, and he's talking them and reminding them what it means to be a believer, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so in verse 1 of chapter 3, he writes these words, "Remind the believers," this is one of the things that means to be doing good works, "remind the believers to submit to the government and to its officials." Now, understand, the government and its officials in the first century make our government and our officials look like they're believers. It makes our government officials look like they're actually really great people. So be careful when you got to understand that. And Paul, writing it to Titus, Titus then talking to the body of Christ, remind the believers to submit to the government and to its officials. They should be obedient, always ready to do what? The body of Christ should always be ready to do good works. Verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good works. These teachings are good, and these teachings are beneficial for everyone, meaning this. So tomorrow at your workplace, out in the community, leisure, whatever, whatever it is that you are doing, whatever it is that we are doing, these good works should be what? Beneficial to those around us. They should see the light of the gospel in us. And it'll be beneficial to who? To everyone. Then in verse 14, our people must learn to do what is good by meeting the urgent needs of others. Then they will not be unproductive. All right, so it is worth noting, Paul, the great proponent of grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Think about that. The whole letter to the church at Galatia was fought over this issue of grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. And Paul, all over the New Testament, to Corinth, to Philippi, to Ephesus, Paul valiantly fought for grace alone, no works when it comes to salvation. If it wasn't for the Apostle Paul, so God used, I mean, God would have done it another way, but God used the Apostle Paul. If it wasn't for the Apostle Paul, then we would all be, well, most of us wouldn't even go to church anymore, but we would all be sitting here at church trying to figure out, all right, what more works do I need to do in order to earn my credit and earn my favor to go to heaven? Because I know most of you, and you're not doing good enough. So what more? We would all be trying to figure it out. Come to church, listen to the preacher preach. Oh, I don't know if I can do all that. We'd all be trying to figure out what works we got to do in order to gain entrance into this thing called heaven. But not for Paul. Fighting in the first century, what we call the Judaizers, the religious leaders, who were trying to add works. We talked about that at the very beginning of this series. Trying to add works to salvation. And Paul would absolutely have none of it. Titus would have none of it. Timothy would have none of it. The apostles would have none of it. Thankfully, they were victorious. And we now understand grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But Paul also emphasizes the necessity and the blessing of doing good works that proceed out of grace and gratitude. We don't like that word here in America. Gratitude, thankfulness, a heart melted with grace. See, and the reason we don't like that is because we talk about this all the time. I talk about this one all the time, that we have been raised in an entitlement world, and especially American culture. We've been raised in an entitlement culture. Politics, government. You can go down the list. We are an entitlement culture, an entitlement world. Somebody owes me something. And then sadly, that spills over into the church. And then we in the body of Christ think somehow God owes me something. And so Paul teaches us that good works come out of what? Gratitude for all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus, not entitlement. Think about the difference between those two. A person on his or her face before God the Father with nothing but gratefulness and thankfulness, because he or she realizes everything I am, everything I hold in my hands, all of these blessings, everything is God's gracious gift. And on my face before the Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've given. On the other hand, I wonder if God realizes just how great I am. I wonder if God realizes really just how much I do for this thing called the kingdom. Man, think about the difference between those two. One of the greatest blessings of good works is that we get to join God in his work of shining the light of the gospel in a world that is dark. The only reason that we can live in obedience and kindness and love is that God has first been at work in our lives, because God is the one that changes us. God is the one that transforms us. Peter, in his second letter, he wrote these words: "So brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called. Do these things and you will never fall away." So that verse has been controversial for 2,000 years, but it's not about earning salvation in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It's about confirming the reality of salvation. And then James, of course, with the word that James says is faith without works is what? Is dead. It's not mostly alive. It can't be revived. It's not 99% dead. James says faith without works is dead. Now, what does he mean when he says faith without works is dead? Here's what he means. He says, he's meaning this: faith without works means there's no faith. Dead means dead. So faith without works is no faith at all. We join God in the work of faith because God is at work in our lives, and he's molding us and he's shaping us into the image of his son Jesus. And if that is true, and it is true, then we have no choice but to do good works. I heard a preacher one time say it this way, and it's so simple, and I love simple. And he said it this way. He said, "Where there is no fruit, there is no tree. Where there is no tree, there is no fruit." And that resonated with me. Oh, I can get that. I can go that deep. Where there is no fruit, there is no tree. Where there's no tree, there is no fruit. It's kind of a no-brainer. Stafford Carson writes, "The Bible tells us that if we want to bless others and nurture more commitment in the body of Christ, which we all want to do, then we need to engage in the practical works of service. Paul commended the Corinthians for their sacrificial giving and their concern for the needy because their example had a positive impact on their fellow believers. Serving God and his people brings great joy and fulfillment. As we invest our time and our talents and our resources and our money in the kingdom work, then we can rejoice in the knowledge that God sees our efforts and will reward us according to his abundant grace." That's a great word. I made this practical this morning in early worship, and I said this: why is it that we at First Baptist Church Gunnersville, why did we enter into this thing called building by faith? Why did we do that? I mean, what was our reason? What's our purpose? What are we trying to accomplish? Do we just want to build buildings? And I actually said in early worship this morning, I said, it just kind of came to me, what we need to do is when we do build this building, we need to name it after me. All right? I think that's a great idea. The Joel Samuels Building. I mean, what do we? Are we just trying to build buildings so we can say, look, we're building up more buildings? What are we trying to do there? What's our point? Do we just like raking money out of your hands? I mean, is that what we're trying to do? We just want to take up as much. We're just trying to get as much money out of y'all as we can take. No, It's not because we're trying to build buildings. It's not because we're trying to get more money. It's not none of those things. It's because we want to continue to see the body of Christ grow. We realize there is some discrepancy as to when that building was actually built by the Episcopalians. But one of the things we do know is that it was built by the Episcopalians a long, long, long time ago. The Episcopalians say that it was built in 1918. They're the ones that built the building. Well, I don't know how right they are. Some people have said, I don't know about that, but I can tell you this, it was built a long time ago. Well, it's dilapidated. It's falling apart. It's too small. So we got to do something as far as our youth is concerned. So that's one of the reasons why we want to build a building. But more importantly, church, it's because we want to see the body of Christ grow. We want to have a positive impact, shining light of the gospel into our sin-sick world. Our commitment to good works is crucial to the mission of the gospel. Paul tells Titus, he tells Timothy, tell the church to do good works so that by them we can confirm the truth of the gospel. Peter said it this way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works. And then when they see your good works, they'll do what? It will glorify your Father who is in heaven. Once again, Stafford Carson writes, Peter says that those who are diligent in the practice of their faith and in showing good works will receive an abundant entrance into God's eternal kingdom. The specific nature of the rewards is not fully described in Scripture. All right, I agree. We know that they are great rewards that will involve an increase of delight and joy that we know. But in all this, we remember that any rewards that we receive in heaven are the outcome of our union with Christ. We die to Him. We live with Him. We share His joy. And in heaven we will dwell with Him. Our lives are inextricably linked with Christ's. The reward that he receives is shared with those who are united with Him. Paul tells us in Romans, and since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, then we must also share in His suffering. And then the great John Murray really wraps up this series for me. And here's what John Murray writes. While it makes void the gospel to introduce works in connection with justification. All right, so the gospel is no longer the gospel. That's his point. The gospel is no longer the good news. The gospel is void and no longer the gospel if we have to introduce good works in connection with sanctification. True. Nevertheless, works done in faith from the motive of love of God and the end of His glory are inextricably good and acceptable to God. As such, they will be the criterion of reward in the life to come. Our good works simply flow out of God's grace. They are the evidence of our faith. Why is this so important? Well, for 2,000 years, we have fought over this issue. Paul fought it in the first century. We fought it in the second century. We fought it in the 10th century. We fought it in the 15th century. We fought it in the 20th century. And we're fighting it in the 21st century. This connection between salvation by grace alone and works. And we have been fighting it for 2,000 years. So why is it important for me as a pastor, the preacher? Oh my goodness, it's because we're still fighting the fight. Now you understand that the reason that we have, just in Gunnersville alone, the Methodists, the Presbyterians. By the way, last night, Last night, I did a wedding for a Methodist girl and a Presbyterian guy, and I'm the Baptist preacher. We were ecumenical now. I'm telling you, we had the whole thing going on. All right, so a Methodist girl, a Presbyterian guy, and the Baptist preacher. But we got it done. But Methodists, Presbyterians, Church of Christ, Church of God, Assemblies of God, Missionary Baptist, Primitive Baptist, we've got them all. We've got Jehovah's Witness. We've got all, you name it, just in Gunnersville. Just in Gunnersville. We don't even have to go out to the world at large. We're just here. Now, those denominations became denominations over many issues, and so we don't have time to go into all of those reasons. But let me tell you something. One of the main reasons why we have all those denominations is because of this very issue that I'm preaching on today. So, because of that, I want to make sure that I personally understand this biblical concept. Not because I want to hold it over somebody else's head. Not because I want to say, no, y'all are wrong. No, but because I want to know the biblical truth about this issue. And then as the pastor and the preacher, I want to make sure that you know and understand this biblical truth. We are saved by grace alone, through the doorway of faith alone, in Christ alone. God reached out his hand to his enemy, Joel. And it's only because of what God has done for me in Christ Jesus. Salvation by grace alone, in faith alone, in Christ alone. Paul tells me that before Jesus, I was dead. Not on the gurney, at the emergency room. There's still a little life left. Somebody do CPR. Oh, no. No, 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 no. I was dead. Buried. Out. I got nothing. Only because of God's amazing, incredible grace that I received through faith in Christ Jesus alone do I now have life in the name of Jesus. God said, Joel, I don't want to be your enemy any longer. And he reached out and he grabbed me and he pulled me from death. Period. That's it. Nothing to be added. You add to that and you don't know Scripture. I won't just stand on that. I'll fight you for that. Out of that unbelievable, amazing promise of grace flows then good works for his honor, for his glory, to shine light of the gospel in a dark, dark, dark world. Father, thank you for that biblical truth. Thank you for the gift of life that comes in Christ Jesus alone. Thank you, Father, for the gift of being molded and shaped into the image of your Son, Jesus, so that I can join you in this thing called the work of the gospel, shining light in a dark world. Thank you for that gift, Father. In all things, Father, we pray that as we show the fruit of salvation, that it will be done for your honor and for your glory. Thank you for that gift today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Trust and obey is our hymn of invitation. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, then we encourage you, make that decision today. If you need to join our church, if you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand and as we sing.
When we walk there.
Please be seated real quickly. I think first is our Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong.
This Richmond is a great video. Richmond always had a high rate of drug abuse. And most of my adult life, I spent every waking moment seeking the next fix. And a couple blocks up is really where my heroin addiction took off. Because this is where all the drug activity was, on this street right here. I got incarcerated and man came in, preached the gospel, and something was rearranged inside of me. And so when I got out, a lot of these folks know me, still know me from the street. And I was like, I want to tell them about Jesus. I cried because it was so simple. It was just a desire to reach people. And that's kind of how it all started. My wife and I started The Fix. We got 30 acres in the middle of nowhere. It was a gift to the ministry. And we bring men and women, and we spend the better part of a year with them, walking with them through their recovery.
Fred started preaching on Saturday nights for the students' families to come. And then we noticed that people in the community were just coming. They see Pastor Fred up there with his tattoos, and they're like, that dude gets me.
I think really that's where the heart to plant the church came from, because ultimately Jesus is the fix. That was true in my life, and I've seen it true in so many other people's lives. So from where I was to where I'm at now, you know, we started with absolutely nothing, and now we're here. Just more than we could ever imagine.
That is a great video. All right, so when we give to North American Mission Board, we give to the North American Annie Armstrong Easter offering, 100%. I mean, if you give $1, that whole dollar, every single penny of that dollar goes to people like that, who are all over North America shining light in darkness. So we started this last week. Our goal is $26,000, so you make sure that you give and be a part of our Annie Armstrong. All right, so I messed this up this morning. So this is called active shooter defense training. I said active shooter training. Okay. So they told me afterwards, Kelly and Steve Strickland, who are in charge of that, said, no, we're not going to be teaching people how to be active shooters. I said, well, I don't see why not, but okay. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to have active shooter defense training, meaning we're going to see how we can defend active shooters. All right, so I messed that up. But you can see it's going to be April the 18th, and it's for anybody. I think it's going to be here at First Baptist. And Kelly and Steve have 25 free tickets for anybody in our church that wants to be a part of it. All right. And it's open to the entire, I think he told me this morning, he said six are coming from Connect. So it's just going to be open for all of Marshall County, anybody that wants to come. But it's open for anybody. So keep that in mind. All right. Then we've got Warren with the camp this summer. See Warren, Heather, they'll give you information, registration by April 30. All right, the next one, Tim Hayes, yeah, you did that this morning too. All right, so Tim Hayes and Jackie Hester are going to be doing part two of the Andy Griffith Bible Study. They've already done part one. It was great. It's going to start Wednesday night, April 15, and go through May the 13th. So it'll be here in the sanctuary. Just want you to know about that. It's going to be a lot of fun to go through that. All right. This coming Wednesday night, this is spring break. That means nothing this Wednesday night as far as regular activities are concerned. No supper, no Bible study prayer, no youth, no children. Ken's still going to have choir, praise team. All right, so keep that in mind. But Paul and the senior adults said, well, we'll kind of capitalize on that. So this Wednesday night in the fellowship hall, senior adults, super soup and classy chili.
I have a question. How does classy chili differ than the redneck chili I've been eating all my life? What is classy chili?
That's a good question for Paul.
Well,
good question for Paul after church. All right, keep that in mind. All right, so also with mature adults, and this is for everybody, but we have to go ahead and get that signed up. So if you're interested in hear Sandy Patty this summer or going to the Celebrators Conference with Paul, then see Paul. Information on the Old Lord's Supper table. Also, men's clay shoot, Elliot Rowe is in charge of that, and Elliot does a great job with that every year. It's always a big turnout. You see that it is at Bright Star Sporting Clays, and it is April the 11th, and so Elliot's got, you can do the QR code, or Elliot has a sign-up sheet out there on the Old Lord's Supper table as well. Worship on the Water has turned into a great, great, great event, helping support our teens here in Marshall County and in Gunnersville. See Warren if you want more information about that. All right, and then the egg hunt, I still don't get it, but apparently they'll egg your house and you got to pay.
Is it like insurance?
Yeah, so I don't really, but it's all a fundraiser for Worship on the Water. See Warren, he'll give you that information, all right? Karen gave me this. First Baptist Church Memorial Scholarship applications are available in the church office or on the website under Ministry Opportunities. The deadline is April the 12th, and there is we removed the requirement several years ago that you have to be enrolled in ministry. So if you have any interest in being a part, getting the First Baptist Church Memorial Scholarship, call the church office. You have until April the 12th in order to make sure that that is done. All right. Let's close by standing and